The home in Live Oak. The problem is, this woman's home and family haven for 55 years is about to be put on a list by the County of Santa Cruz that would designate it as a possible historical resource, which would mean that its value would be substantially reduced. Ironically, the KSCO building on Portola Drive is slated to be put on an even more ominous list by the County of Santa Cruz, the definite, not possible, historical resource list. Some owners would be pleased and honored to have their properties listed on such an historical resource list, but many, perhaps most, others would prefer to opt out and decline the honor. Here's the rub. It doesn't matter if you don't want your property on the historical list to be nationalized by the county. If the county wants your property, it is going to take it, pay you nothing, and there is nothing you can do about it. Or is there? Tune into the next KSCO special, and let's talk about what we can do about this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. If you care about the critical issue of property rights, please listen and participate. Okay, welcome to the Saturday special. I think we're connected properly here.
You sound loud and clear.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate it. You the man. You the man. This, as I said in the promo, this thing all started from a lady that sent a letter in the mail, in the snail mail, to my mom, Kay. Actually, it wasn't received for another week or two after it was sent. I'm going to read a little bit of it here. It says, "Dear Kay, I am a 90-year-old widow, and this will be widow to widow of how do you feel about being on the historic list as ICKSCO is." Pardon me. "My house has been teetering on this list for years, and I want off." And the words "I want off" are underscored. "My time here is limited, and the way my husband and me had the will set up, half the estate will go to my brain-damaged daughter. She had an accident in 1967 at 17 years old. Miraculously, she recovered from a two-month coma that the doctor said was very unexpected due to the severe damage. She returned to Soquel High a year later and graduated with honors. But in the years since, her emotional responses are of about an 11 to 12 year old. Finally, on Prozac, she also lives with me and was becoming emotionally, I'm not sure of the word here, dangerous, I guess it looks. She is a sweetheart and helps me a lot. Now my grandson, Mark Dettle of the Robert Dettle Insurance Office, has been buffering for me, us, and we spent over 3.5 hours at a supervisors meeting on the 23rd of January and came away in limbo, not sure what it all means to us." Okay. Mother Kay received this letter and got rather disturbed and handed it to me. So what should we do about this? I said, I thought we'd make at the beginning, the first thing that we should do is make a Saturday special out of it. And so we got in contact with the writer of that letter. We would call her Grandma Margie Hosier and her grandson Mark Dettle, and both of whom have graciously accepted our invitation to appear on the Saturday special. And I think both Grandma Margie and Mark are in the studio, as is my mother Kay. Am I right?
Yes, that's right, Michael. And another grandson is here, too.
Oh, and what is his name?
Steve.
Steve, okay. So we need to make sure everybody's mics are potted up here so that we can start the program. Grandma Margie, tell me when this first started and how it disturbed you. Just tell us the beginning. Tell us the story. Just go through it in your words, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I figure that this started way back 1987 or so, because someone was taking pictures of my house at that time, and I didn't know what they were taking pictures of. And so I didn't look into it or anything. And then over the years, then I find out that this is what it was. So that's a long time back.
Wow, that's like 20 years. 1987, you say?
Yes. So all the years, my husband and I would laugh about one day our ship would come in. And then we realized we were sitting on it. You know, right. The land that we were sitting on was our ship. And we just was tickled about that because we were in agriculture, and a lot of our money was buried in the ground with the flower bulbs.
Right.
So we made jokes about that. But now, at this age, I'm getting pretty old, and one day the place should be sold, and we had it all figured out that it would be such a help for our daughter, who's not able to do for herself.
Right. Now, how is it that you feel that you're having your property designated as historical would decrease its value?
Well, in the first place...
I think
place,
that's the problem, right? I mean, you strongly feel that way, right?
I do, because in the first place, it's built in 1910. It needs a new roof. There's a lot of dry rot. And there's just so many things like that that need to be done that I'm not able to do. Anything I've been able to save up, I'm living on that. I'm on Social Security. And if I take all that and fix that house up to suit them, just so somebody can look at it, we always figured that the house could be gone. It was just the land that was of value. And so this way, I don't see any sense in taking what little I've got and fixing that place all up that so someone else could look at it.
Okay. Yeah. How are we going to make a two-hour program out of this? Actually, there's a lot to talk about. So as I understand it, this is a consultant, a cultural or historical resources consultant was retained by the County of Santa Cruz a number of years ago to go around the Live Oak area and identify certain properties that may be of significance, historically speaking. And if they are so proclaimed by the Board of Supervisors, then these properties will become... part of a list of historical properties. And once you're on that list, I use the term in the promo nationalized. And some people have been critical of that, saying, hey, you're really overreacting, MZ. It's they're not nationalizing your property. And guess what? I don't believe that I'm being overly dramatic at all. When the government takes, puts your property on a list, which will add any kind of restrictions at all over that which already exists regarding your property, there's no question that that's a taking of the property, and that is a nationalization, if you will, of the property. And I don't think that that's a very nice thing for the government to do, unless they compensate you for it and unless you agree to it. Now, we're not talking about eminent domain here, ladies and gentlemen. We're just talking about the whim of some historical resource people and the government that feels like it wants to do something and to hell with what the property owner thinks. Now, as I said in the promo, I think there are there are a number of people who would be interested in perhaps having in the honor of having their property listed on an historical a registry of some sort. And what we're talking about, by the way, is the county historical register. It's not going to be, as I understand it, there are three kinds. There's a national historical registry, there's a state historical registry, and there's a county historical registry. And there are certain, I believe there's a tax benefit that goes along with your property being listed on the national historic registry. But to my knowledge, there is no tax benefit or any other kind of benefits, only restrictions that go along with being on a county historical list. And so one would think that most property owners would be a little disturbed about being put on a list against their will. Now, Mom and I attended a meeting, I think it was in September, don't you? Wasn't it, Ma?
Yes.
It was the
in
first
the fall.
Meeting. And now, this is not something that... We're not accusing the county of Santa Cruz of doing anything behind anybody's back. I mean, they certainly contacted all the property owners. I think there's 150 of them or thereabouts in the Live Oak area whose properties were put on a preliminary list. And I think that list has been whittled down to about 44 now, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure, you know, later on in the program, people will be calling in and setting us straight about the exact numbers. None of that really matters as far as I'm concerned. What's important here is that people's properties are being that the thought of even taking someone's property, even a portion of it or a portion of the bundle of rights that come with a proper private property ownership in this country or county can even be considered by the government if it's against the will of the person. And again, as I said, we're not talking about eminent domain here, which was set up for the benefit of the public at large. We're just talking about a designation that will clearly reduce the value of a person's property once it is so designated. And what are the positive benefits? Well, I guess there's a positive benefit of I don't see it, but maybe someone sees a positive benefit of Grandma Margie Hosier's house being designated historical so that she can't hang a towel rack or do any kind of painting or doing any kind of improvement without going through a big rigmarole with the government that would cost more than the improvement itself. And so I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm pretty upset about this. And why wasn't I upset, and why weren't we upset, Ma, back in September? Can you explain that? Did we both have a leave of our senses or what?
I think we didn't understand that there are certain restrictions that would make it impossible for us to do anything with our own property without having to go through the government. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't set well. And when I read Margie's letter, and she mentioned something about not even being allowed to have a little ramp for a handicapped person, that the county said, no, you can't touch that, you can't do that. So she had to surreptitiously hide one in the back of her house so that her daughter or whoever is handicapped can get into the house.
Is this correct, Margie?
This is very scary.
Margie, is this correct?
That's right.
I thought that might have been someone else that you knew of who did that.
Oh, there was someone else that wanted one and couldn't have it. And I decided, well, I'm going to have mine, and I hid it in the back wall so that it can't be seen, but we could use it.
Right.
But that's no way for people to want to live with their own property. Mm-hmm. So the people that you asked, what are the restrictions that time we were at that meeting? They said, well, there aren't any, really. I mean, there's nothing to worry about. Does that mean that if...
Well, I asked one question at that meeting, and the answer that was given disturbed me. And I don't know what happened, why I became undisturbed, but I got disturbed again. I really want to thank Grandma Margie for writing this letter, and I'm really happy that we got it in time, because it's my understanding that on the 23rd of January last month, there very well could have been the designation, the vote for the designation. But apparently, I wasn't at that meeting, and I should have been. Apparently there were enough very angry people that the supervisors decided not to ram this down the people's throat, at least at that meeting.
Let Margie tell you about that.
Yeah, please.
Margie, tell them.
Actually, I'd rather have my grandson tell you because he understands better. What to say?
It's a shame that people don't that it's not clear what even happened at the meeting. But go ahead, Mark or whoever or Steve.
Yeah, this is Mark. Actually, my nickname's Tony. There's another Mark Duddle here in town, so not to be confused with Mark.
Should I call you Mark or should I call you Tony?
Call me Tony.
Okay, Tony.
Mark's a great guy too. We love him. He's my half brother, actually.
Done.
Very proud of him.
Okay.
When this all started, before we had gone to the meeting, I thought, well, maybe I should contact some of these people who have been put on the historic resource list, and just see what the things are that we can and can't do, or some of the restrictions they have. And I did contact one gentleman who owns a beautiful home. It's a historical home, and I believe it's even a bed and breakfast. And I won't mention any names, but basically, and real quickly, I just told him that my grandmother was 89 years old, and she had been approached by the Historic Resource Commission of Santa Cruz County. She actually attended a meeting last night, which I wasn't able to go to. That was the one in October. But my question was, if her home or property is designated as a historic resource inventory, what effect does it have on her, the property, and the possible sale or inheritance of that property in the future? Is she locked into anything? And the response was, yes, it has meaning if her house is put on the historic inventory. The following are consequences. No exterior alterations without approval of the Historical Preservation Commission. No alteration of the exterior will be required to be done. Any alterations will be required to be done in like materials to the period. That means no skylights, no modern windows. And number three, no future permits for demolition unless the house is deemed in danger of falling over. Probable benefits: future remodels could have code upgrades, like full height handrails or exterior stairs waived to keep the house in keeping with historical appeal.
Oh, that's nice.
And then he ends it, good luck. So, basically, they want...
So this person was not happy. I mean, so I've said in the promo that there are some people who are happy having their properties designated, but I haven't found any, actually.
I think the person is kind of a mixed bag. He may be happy because he has a beautiful bed and breakfast, and he's, you know, probably making some pretty good money on it. But in the situation where there is just a homeowner who has bought a home and bought it because of the qualities of it, that it looks historical or whatever, and has poured hundreds or thousands of dollars into this home to keep it looking nice, to keep it looking like, you know, period architecture, and then to turn around and have them put on the NR5 list because it looks that good, and then told that they can't do anything else to it, including, you know, sell it.
You can't sell it.
Well, you can sell it, but who's going to want to buy it? I mean, who's going to want to buy a house that they can't do anything with?
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And so, pardon me. I think we should let the audience know that you had expressed a little concern about even appearing on this program, Tony, because you have been successful in getting your grandmother's house listed on the possible list. I mean, it got downgraded from the NR5 to the NR6. Am I correct?
That's right.
Okay. And as a result of that, hey, I mean, you at least it's not for sure going to be designated historical. And when I spoke with your grandmother, she says that's not good enough for her. She doesn't want to be looking over her shoulder for the rest of her life and worried about receiving a new package next year or next month, with 2 inches worth of paper talking about it being upgraded to the NR5 list again. It's really no way to live. And it was a really very touching conversation that I had with you and her yesterday on the telephone, in which I asked your grandmother. I said, would you be willing to go on the radio with us to discuss this? And she said, well, I've started something by writing this letter, and I think the right thing to do is to finish it. And I said, thank you, ma'am. I really appreciate and respect that. And I guess I've got to take my hat off to you, because as a result of that, you said that you would appear just to back up your grandmother, even though, you know, you pretty much felt that, you know, why rock the boat if you've basically gotten what you want at this point.
Right. Well, and the thing, too, is that the main reason that I showed up for the second meeting, which was September 14th, was... And I told the board that I appreciated them downgrading her to an NR6, but that the reason I was there at that time was just to have her removed from any list at all.
That was on September? It was in January, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. It was January. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. But according to the code, the county code section, it says, let's see, county code section 16.42.080 provides for the assignment of another rating, NR6, as opposed to NR5, to those properties that have been determined by the HRC to be ineligible for designation as historic resources. That being said, then why should she be on any list at all? If she's been deemed, if the house or the property's been deemed ineligible for any designation.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, good question to put out to our audience. 479-1080 or 479-1080. Out of habit, I'm talking about the other number we used to have. But we have a good strong bank of phone lines at 479-1080 and would invite you to utilize phone lines. This is a live call-in show. And if you feel that there is something that you would like to contribute to this program, we definitely encourage you to call in. I particularly want to hear from people who are on the list of that I believe is 44 long, 44 properties long currently, of properties that are designated to be real, true, you know, NR5 historical designated properties. And I don't know if any of those people are listening to the Saturday special today, but if you know, if they're not, and if someone who knows them is, please get in touch with them and ask them to tune in the radio and give us a call, because I feel that there is probably something that can be done with enough people rising up and letting the supervisors whom I think are hell-bent on taking these properties. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But I would hope that there were people who are listening to this program who will call in and give us their impression one way or another. I mean, I happen to be very much opposed to having my property, which is on the list, being put on a list against my will. That's the key. If it's against the property owner's will, it shouldn't happen.
Hey, Z, we have County Board of Supervisor Jan Butes on line one, who can only join us for about 5-10 minutes.
Well, we better take the call right now then, okay? Jan, happy
yes.
Happy you called in. Welcome to the Saturday special.
Sure.
Hi, Jan.
Okay, you're on the air.
Okay.
So you have called in. You must have heard a little bit of the program up until now, huh?
When I called in, but...
Oh, okay.
I mean, your station called yesterday and asked me to call it.
Right. Okay. Well, happy that you did. You are the supervisor for I forget district. Is it live? Well, I know it's Live Oak. Is it district? It doesn't matter what district number it is.
District one.
Yeah, district one. Okay. And actually, you are the supervisor for all of these for the entire Live Oak area and all
well,
of these.
Actually, part of it, a little bit of it's in the open energy system.
Oh, okay. All righty.
Hold on just a second.
You must have caught it from me.
I know. Everybody downtown is sick. So.
Yucko. Anyhow, so how do you feel about this historical preservation business, especially about the idea of if a property owner wants to politely decline the honor, it's my understanding that... all he or she can do is appear before your board and plead and beg. And if you decide to have mercy on that person, you might let them not be on the list. Is that correct or incorrect?
Because
that's the problem if it's correct, I have a big problem with that. And I think a lot of our listeners do too.
People need to understand, though, how historical preservation actually works in California. It's actually a part of CEQA to look at historical issues.
California Environmental Quality, is that what that CEQA is?
Right. So okay. Even if something's not on any list that the county has, if you want to develop property, that will be one of the things that will be considered for, a home past a certain number of years. And that came up on a couple properties. I think what's happened in Live Oak, there's a lot of development. There's always a lot of development. And some historical buildings were taken down because, you know, it's looked at under CEQA, but that comes in at the end of the process, not the beginning. Uh-huh. And
you're saying whether or not a property is designated
right.
historical, it's got any kind of development has to go through the CEQA
process. And looking at historical buildings will be part of that process. And there were some historical properties on the Swenson, the Live Oak Building Park, the business park over on the frontage road. and on another private property, and they were destroyed, and they were pretty historical buildings. And so I think this is important when you're looking at development, because some of these are private homes, and some of them are big pieces of property that, you know, are going to be built on. And I don't dispute they'll be built on, but I think you can preserve the older house while you build on them.
May I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Mom.
About this issue now, if the county decides that a parcel is historical and makes the owner not be allowed to sell it, then why shouldn't the county buy all of these historical buildings? And then we won't have this problem. Instead of forcing somebody who wants to sell her property, whether some agency says it's historical or not, that person should be compensated instead of told.
Well, I don't agree that you will not be able to sell your property. I mean, I can point to you on 17th Avenue near where I live that there's a property that was historical, and they're developing that property. They're putting two more units behind it. They've had to preserve the front unit that is historical, but it has not kept. It was not kept from selling it. And it's not kept from developing it.
Well, are you saying that Marge, who's sitting here next to me, who might want to sell her old house, is going to be allowed to? Because
of
course. Think she thinks that she can't.
No, of course.
Marge, would you get involved in this?
These properties, buy and sell all the time.
Yeah,
and many people that, you know, the day we had the hearing, there were many people who did not come and object, and I assume then they didn't, and I'm not saying she didn't, I know she did. But so this isn't like universally something that people object to, I don't think.
Well, I agree with you, but what about the ones that do? What about the ones that want to add something to their houses, and because they own the house, why do they have to go through a historical group to let them know exactly what they're allowed to put on? That's wrong.
Well, let me explain one thing.
But Jan, one question that I don't know if anybody had asked is if these historical buildings, edifices, are so important to be preserved, wouldn't it be simple for the county to just purchase them?
No, the county can't purchase all these properties.
Well, then just let it go.
Then don't take them.
Don't take them.
Okay, well, I was going to kind of go through the process here, but I need to then not be interrupted so I can tell you how this came about, I think. When these properties were taken down, a group of people that live in Live Oak formed the Live Oak History Project, and they started looking at, you know, the variety, because this isn't something that was born in the supervisor's chambers. You know, this is people coming to us with these issues.
Yeah, I understand.
I understand that the people on your show have a difference of opinion, and I will try to answer some of the questions they've just asked. I think that we then hired a professional consultant to work with this group so that, you know, what's being done has some structure to it. And then there have been a variety of meetings, none of which I attended, I think, with people who are possibly going to be designated. I think there was one community meeting, and then the historical board had a couple of meetings on this. But the point I was trying to make about CEQA is something can be historical whether it's on a register or not. I think putting on a register makes it clear to people, well, if it's not in a register, then every time somebody wants to, you know, develop property, they're going to have to do their own study. They're going to have to hire a consultant. They're going to have to spend all that money and all that time. It seems a little more efficient to do it as in a group thing, and then people do know what is and isn't designated. And it's much more likely to save.
Right.
It's more likely to save things when you know going in what the designation is then wait till you get the middle of the planning process, and then somebody says, oh, well, this is a building that's so-and-so old, you have to do it. So that was part of the reason. But I kind of want to make it clear, it's not just whether it's on the county register that makes this an issue. It's an issue based on how old the building is.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some people come in and talk to me, and I looked at their properties. You know, one lady said she wanted to build a second story. You can build a second story. It doesn't even have to look like the original house. They would prefer it not. You can build onto it. You're just not supposed to ruin the integrity of what's already there. But it isn't.
I think that's what made me sort of pull back and relax a little bit. The hair was up on my back at that first meeting. It wasn't before the supervisor. I think it was just an informational meeting,
right,
conducted by the staff, if I'm not mistaken, and that
right.
was at the at the swimming pool there on 17th Avenue, and I think it was in September. And they at that meeting that was said that just because you're on a historic list does not mean that you cannot build on your building. And someone had said that part of your building can be designated historical, and I think in the case of the KSCO building, I would never want to change anything, you know, about the circular, you know, front where the call letters are. So I mean, I'm very, very proud of that, but I don't want the government to tell me that I may not. That really bothers me, Jan.
I mean, Buckhart's Candy up the street from you is partially designated, I think. The front with the windmill and stuff is historic. I don't think the whole building is historic.
I would think that most people would consider that kind of a thing an asset, you know, and if they wanted to develop.
Well, many people do.
The people themselves, the owners
right.
themselves. Because as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter what the neighbors think. I know you and I will always disagree on that. I mean, that's what got you elected supervisor. And
let me finish the story I was telling you. So she came in and she said, you know, she had heard the same thing. You know, I can't build on anything and whatever. I don't want to do it now. We use it in our family. But so I actually checked into her property, and under today's rules, because she already has added a couple times, she couldn't add a second story because she has built too much already. She could add 50 feet to her house. However, the historical rules that are making this more palatable, you can have higher density and you can have more lot coverage. So this will benefit her because that rule will kick in and allow her to build more on her lot than it is now.
And you're talking about Margie Hosier, who's in the studio with us?
No, I'm talking about someone else that came to see me and was very upset. So when we actually looked at her property, mm-hmm. this was going to help her because she was going to be able to build more because it's historic, to make that somewhat of an incentive. There will be some parking.
Was that put in writing? Or was that just said?
That's an ordinance that we passed for historical buildings.
Yeah.
So, you know, these aren't just things somebody tells you. Now, I do think that the historical ordinance we use needs to be rewritten. And we made that a part of what we said on the 23rd. It's very complicated. It's full of things that people say, but we never do that. And that doesn't give anyone assurance if you say, well, it's in the ordinance, but we never do it. I mean, I understand that. I don't think things like ramps for handicapped people and even solar panels. I question in this day and age if we should be saying to people, you can't put solar heat in your house because
it would be very politically incorrect for a politically correct county to say that.
Well, it may be, but we also want people to save energy. So, you know, there's some competing.
No, that's what I say. Everybody wants to save energy.
Okay.
I think it doesn't matter what your politics are. I think everybody's on the same page with regard to that.
Yeah, Michael, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
Yes.
Is it Tony?
This is Steve.
Steve, hi, Steve.
And basically the bottom line, Jan, is my aunt is disabled. When my grandmother dies, are you going to come over and take care of her and pay her bills and make sure the property is upkept and her doctor's appointments and her medication? Or are you going to be over in the city council? And what we need to do is we don't want to build on the property. We want to get out of the property. We want to take that nest egg and set up my aunt for the rest of her life so that she's taken care of. This has nothing to do with additions or anything else. We just want to get out of there. They worked, they saved all their life to get this nest egg, and now we don't want someone to come in and say, now here's how you're going to spend that egg. We want to have the freedom of choice. She's worked hard all her life to get that thing so she can leave it if she wants. And that's what we're saying. We don't want to build it. We want to get out of it.
Good point.
And I scared off the first real estate guy last week. He called up and he said, do you want to sell your place? And for the first time, I said, I might. And so I said, well, yeah. I said, the historical, and that's all I had to say. He wanted off the phone. He didn't
want to talk
to me
no
more.
Well, that doesn't mean you can never sell it to anybody.
But you're making it harder for people.
Who's going to buy a house where the windows are crooked, there's drafts in it, the roof's no good, you got a dirt floor for a foundation. No one's going to live in there. You can sell that for about $500,000, or you can make $1 million and set my aunt up the way she's supposed to be set up. So that's what we're saying. We worked hard in this town before you were even here. We were here working, paying taxes, and now we want to take our nest egg and we want to go to Bali. We want to do whatever we want without you telling us where we can go, when we can go, why we can go, and take forms and all that stuff. We don't want you in our life at all. Thank you, but we don't want you in our life. We want to take care of our family with our money, our way. That's all we want.
And everybody should have that same right with their own private property. People that we put into office should take care of the infrastructure, take care of the potholes in the streets, and stop worrying about what other people are doing with their private property.
Hello, Jan. Are you still there?
I'm still here. I hear what you say. I don't even know what property they're talking about.
I'm talking about my own property.
I understand.
Marge is talking about hers.
And
you know what would keep it real simple? If the government wants to designate certain properties as being historical, just go to the owner and say, is it okay if we put a little sign in front of your house and say this is historical, and let it go at that. But don't tell people what they're allowed to do with their houses or what kind of shape wood that they put on it. This is wrong. This is how we are all losing our freedom. Little by little, it gets chipped away, and then we have people. I do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us,
very
Jan,
much, but, and I didn't expect that.
And
so
I'm not angry with you. It's the situation that the government, especially our county government, is making everything so convoluted and full of these restrictions, and you have no right. And the reason you're having the right is because we, the people, are quietly letting it happen. I think it's time we have to stop. I paid a certain amount for my property. I want you to leave me alone. I want to do what I want with it. Thank you.
And that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be zoning laws, which there are.
That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong, and that doesn't mean that there shouldn't be CEQA laws like there are.
Which are going to look at the property just the same way that we are looking.
I remember now why I walked away from the meeting in September, not angry, because Don Bussey and Glenda Lee, Glenda Hill were staff people that said to me, you know, Michael, you might actually be better off, almost like what you said earlier in this conversation about somebody else, not Marge. You might actually be better off because the setback from the lagoon for you to build will go away. I mean, if you're on a historical list, and it might actually work in your favor. And so that sort of got the hair that had been raised on my back to lie down again, and I guess that's what happened here. But when we received this letter from Marge, wait a minute, that's wrong, and it has nothing to do with the fact that we're feathering our own nest at KSCO. This is, if anybody who's listened to this radio station for the last 16 years since the Zwirling family has owned it will know that whether or not we are personally involved in something, what we're all about is letting the public know about wrong things that are going on, whether it affects us personally or not. This one does affect us personally, and maybe Don Bussey was right, and maybe Glenda Hill was right when they said if the KSCO property gets listed on the historical, it'll actually be better for us than the way it is right now. But the point is, it's wrong. It's wrong to put somebody on a property on a list when that property owner does not want to be on that list. And that's all that this is about. I would hope that the supervisors, whenever they do what they were probably going to do and didn't, as I understand it, on the 23rd, actually do whatever that is, that they would have the honor and the decency to allow people who respectfully want to decline the honor to do so.
Hey, Mike.
And then everything is fine. Yeah.
Mike, this is Tony. I just had a question for Jen. Jen, is there any way, or do you know of any situations or cases where there have been properties on the NR6 list that have been upgraded, I guess, to the NR5 list?
Well, that's part of what's being looked at now.
Okay.
With this process. But no, I don't know of any. I think this happens probably every, I don't know, first time since I've been there, I think. Every so often, each area gets relooked at as far as these. So I don't think, you know, all of a sudden out of the blue, somebody's going to say, oh, we're going to go look at this NR6 property and think about making it NR5.
Well,
I don't think that's happened, but I can't attest to that for sure. These things go through planning. It's a countywide ordinance.
I think as part of that planning, though, there should come up with some, as I told you at the meeting, that the last meeting I went to, is there any way possible of getting some of these NR6 designations removed from any list at all? I mean, that's the reason I'm here with my grandma, is that so that next year or the year after.
She's not even on, she's just an NR6.
I know. She is on the list. She's on the NR6 list.
Okay, but that's not.
But how does she get removed from NR6 status, I guess, if that's a thing? How do these people get? Because who's to say that down the road, the board feels that, you know what, there have been a lot of places around my grandma's house that have been, torn down. So let's actually conserve the area and make it look nice. We're going to put her on the NR5 list now. I mean, how do we know that that's not going to happen in the future?
Well, my understanding is the way these have always been done is it's been like they're looked at as part of a study, like this one is, in every so often as a group. They're not just looked at. But I think people aren't understanding what I said about CEQA, is that if you're not on any list, and I'm not, that your home is very old, when it comes along to develop it, it will be looked at under that, under the process you have to go through in order to do a development. Not as long as you just leave it. If you just sell it completely the way it is, then not. But when you come through the planning process to do the development, that's one of the things that is looked at as part of that process. So this list isn't the be-all and end-all as far as historic issues. It just isn't. Because those are state laws. CEQA is a state process, not a county process. Now, we are looking at the ordinance, and, because I am for that. I'd like, people to want to be on the list rather than, and this is not an ordinance that's been written in my tenure there. This is very old. This is the way the county's always done it since whenever they started, which was probably many, many, many years ago. I think that if it's the issues about windows and all that is something that we should look at. And
I got to read an email, Jan. You got to hear this. This is great. This was written 12 hours ago, and I'm not going to give the name of the person because he's afraid. Dear Michael, in the car today, I heard your promo for the Saturday program, which would discuss historic preservation in Live Oak. I'm now probably the county expert on this topic since I went through 2 years of time and almost $30,000 in attorney's fees and historical consultant fees in successfully keeping an old house I owned off the county historical register. Then it says, see the following story. I did not want to go on the air during your program, either as a caller or an in-studio guest, but I would be happy to give you an expert's off-the-air briefing on what I went through, what the county has just recently done with allegedly historical properties in Live Oak. I actually attended the Board of Supervisors meetings a couple of weeks ago where this was discussed and voted on. Was it voted on? I thought it was continued.
Some of it was voted on, but some of it was...
Okay, and what homeowners can do to prevent their properties being listed either as historical category NR5 or higher or as potentially historical category NR6? Having the NR6 label on your property is like someone's having been arrested for a crime but never convicted of it. The unsubstantiated arrest still shows up on your police record to forever taint your reputation. If interested to discuss, please give me a call at my home here in Live Oak, and it gives the phone number, which I'm obviously
I know who that is, and that's ridiculous. So, you know, look, Michael,
you're not gonna retaliate against this guy.
No.
You're a very powerful person, and I hear that you do a lot of that if you get mad at somebody.
Well,
is that true?
Look, if you're just gonna get me to call you and then you personally attack me,
I'm just saying, is it true?
The last time we will do these discussions. That's not true.
Okay.
I think people, you know, I've just heard it many times,
that's all.
Well,
so, you haven't done it to me yet.
Are you saying that what this person said is not true?
He was not on a register. He went through the whole thing with CEQA.
And spent $30,000. Oh, okay. All right, well, then that's good.
And then he was, as part of that process, taken through the historical process, because that's what will happen. If you know, he didn't start out on any list. He went through it after he wanted to develop. And that's when you have to do each property one by one.
So that has nothing to do with the historical list.
Well, I think he's correct in that he, did get into that process after it came up as part of his development. But he didn't do what you're doing now. I mean, we didn't do it ahead of time.
Jan, if Marge wanted to sell her house tomorrow, could she?
Well, Ma, you can't answer that. No one can answer that question.
No, but there are restrictions on it. There are restrictions now.
I believe that she could sell it.
But not for very much money. And
I don't think that's true. But, you know, this is just going to be, you know, I called in to kind of give you factual information.
Okay.
I am sure that the people there are not going to agree with me. I am sure that, and to just argue back and forth on this, I think is
what I wanted to know from you was, since you're our representative, would you help us in getting our name off that list?
I'd look at that issue. If the ordinance,
because we need a friend in the government.
If the ordinance doesn't allow it, I can't.
No, you can. I think you can, because the city does a lot of things that the state says, no, this is illegal, but the city of Santa Cruz says, no, we're going to give, you know, legal pot and all that. So I know you can circumvent certain things, and I know you, of all people, can get us off that list. If you really want to, I think you could do that for my grandmother. I'm asking you as a voter, you know, would you please help us with this?
I think what you should do is, as we're rewriting the ordinance, you should, you know, I'll look at that issue. You know, what the NR6 is really accomplishing for anybody. Maybe we shouldn't even have NR6s. I don't know. But that's not going to get rid of the issue. I think that, you know, people are just ignoring that.
Before you go, can you let us know what was voted on and what wasn't? Because we're not sure.
Some properties were put on. Mostly these were ones where people weren't complaining.
Uh-huh.
But not completely. I don't have that memorized. It's like 20 people.
Do you know if ours was? Do you know if the radio station?
Probably. I think it was, because nobody objected.
Uh-huh.
If you didn't want it to, I mean, you could still object at this point, I suppose, if you don't want it on there.
Okay. I'd like to object publicly for all the thousands of people who are listening to hear and be witnessed to. Okay.
So you don't want to be on?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Okay.
And I hope you don't force us to.
Thank you very much for being on with us.
I think that's great, Jan, and I really appreciate that. And we do have some people. I don't know if you want to talk to anybody else, but and is there anything that you didn't get to say that you wanted to? Because, you know, now is the time. Because it sounds like the person who wrote me this email, sort of strengthen your point that, you know, if there would have been a list that person could have or would have allowed himself to be on, he might not have had to spend the $30,000 in attorney's fees.
Well, you know? He wouldn't have spent the time. And I think, you know, I think he had a valid complaint, frankly, that, you know, you get caught up in things I wouldn't characterize it the way he has. Like there's some, you know. big conspiracy down at the county. I know that's popular, and it's probably popular with people that call in.
And I didn't mean to aggravate you earlier, but, you know, Rob Lee Levy was someone who was famous for getting real vindictive if she didn't like somebody, and she would go down to the planning department and say, whatever you do, do not let this person have what they want, and they would never get it.
So. Well, I care about the community. I care about the issues of design and whatever for the community, but it's not driven by certain people. It's driven by the things that, you know, I as an elected representative think are important. That doesn't mean everybody agrees with me, but it is not driven by, you know, gee, I don't like somebody or whatever. It's driven by what's happened to Live Oak. Many people who live here think development has ruined us and that they don't want us to just continue to be where people do design if you live someplace else, but here you can just do whatever you want. And it's all driven by how much money you can make.
It used to be sort of a dumping ground in the county, huh, for affordable housing.
It was. And I still fight that a lot. So it doesn't have to do with, you know, being against this person or that person. It does have to be, you know, against what some people would do to the community in order to just, you know, make as much money as they can. And so, you know, maybe property's kind of a good size for three units, but they want to build six because you make more money. Well, you know, I'm not going to be for that. I don't hear from the community. They want it to still be a dumping ground for all kinds of high-density housing every place. But it doesn't have to do with the person. It has to do with the project. I'm very project-oriented, including on this
one. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we have 1 minute left for this hour here.
Okay.
So. Okay.
I mean, I will look into these issues people are talking about. I do think being on the list means, you know, all these things. You can still argue it when you get to your development. You can say, I don't want to do it.
Maybe I'm stupid for wanting off the list if I've indeed been put on the list.
Maybe
I'm stupid, but so. I stand by that stupidity if that's the case. I don't want to be on any historical list. That does not mean that I don't appreciate my Art Deco building, and I would want to, you know, maintain that as long as I have anything to say about it. But the next person might not want to, and I don't think that they should be restricted from doing so.
Okay. I will look into these things people have talked about. That may mean changing the existing ordinance, but we're looking at it anyway.
Okay. Thank you very much for appearing.
But I do not think that, you know, being on a list up front is, like I said, under CEQA, you look at all these. And you either look at them up front or you look at them as you go to develop.
Good point. Thank you very much. We're at the end. We got to say KSCO goodbye. Santa Cruz. Thank you, Jan Buttes. It's 11 o'clock. We join Fox News in Progress.
To hear the state's 45-year-old junior senator say this.
I stand before you today to announce my candidacy for president of the United States of America.
Obama calling for an end to politics as usual.
For the first time.
I know that I haven't spent a lot of time learning the ways of Washington. But I've been there long enough to know that the ways of Washington must change.
Another key speech in Sacramento at that state's Republican convention.
For the first time today in Sacramento, Republican delegates will be listening to Rudy Giuliani, not as the star politician and former mayor of New York City, but as a likely candidate for president from their party.
Fox's William LaJeunesse, Giuliani also raising money in California for his presidential run. Senator Hillary Clinton campaigning for president today in New Hampshire, taking heat for her vote authorizing the Iraq war. The man heading up the president's new Iraq strategy now on the ground in Iraq. General David Petraeus, new commander of U.S. troops there, saying the stakes are high, but he's optimistic.
These tasks are achievable. This mission is doable.
The Pentagon today reporting the deaths of three more U.S. soldiers in Iraq. They died in an explosion near Baghdad yesterday. How Anna Nicole Smith died, still a mystery after a six-hour autopsy yesterday. Broward County, Florida medical examiner Joshua Perper says toxicology tests should provide the answers in 3 to 5 weeks.
We'll have to put everything together, really, to come up to a reasonable conclusion as to the cause and the manner of death.
You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The jury is in, and it's time for my ruling in the matter of LegalZoom.com making it easy and affordable for consumers to create common legal documents like a last will and testament, forming an LLC, registering a trademark, and more. Guilty. I'm Andrew Napolitano, the judge. By now, I know the facts, and the fact is LegalZoom.com is my choice for common legal documents. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom takes care of the rest. LegalZoom.com is not a law firm, but was founded by top attorneys, so you know the documents are reliable and of the highest quality. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% off the cost of going to an attorney. So go to LegalZoom.com today and find out how easy forming an LLC, creating a living trust, or even registering a trademark can be. Receive a special discount off any service by typing in the judge, all one word, in the referral box at checkout. Protect yourself, your family, and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com today. That's LegalZoom.com.
A snow deluge in western New York State, more than 10 feet on the ground in some areas upstate, 18 more inches expected today. Enough's enough.
It looks like we'll finally see the lake snows taper off during the day on Monday.
National Weather Service meteorologist Tony Answeeney in Buffalo. At the Air Force Academy, all 4,000 cadets grounded, confined to campus because of a cheating scandal. 28 freshmen suspected of cheating on a basic knowledge test.
Pretty disappointing time, says the Academy's Lieutenant General, ordering cadets to spend the weekend reflecting on the Honor Code, which forbids lying, cheating, stealing, or tolerating those who violate it. And for good measure, the Academy ordering the on-campus bar padlocked.
Fox News Radio's Todd Starn. South Dakota Senator Tim Johnson doing better. He suffered a brain hemorrhage about 2 months ago. Aides now say he's actually doing some of his office work while continuing physical therapy. Johnson, however, not expected to return to the Hill for several weeks. Fun big business in the Big Apple this weekend.
The 104th American International Toy Fair coming to New York City this weekend, and it ain't child's play, says toy industry analyst Chris Byrne.
This is the time when a lot of the manufacturers, over 1,500 manufacturers, are showing what they've got, hoping to create the next big hit.
At the 2007 fair, toy companies will be showcasing their hot new products, scrambling for a piece of what's become a $21 billion business. Byrne says high-tech toys expected to make a big splash.
One of the big trends, of course, is internet connectivity, things that plug into the computer and actually turn it into sort of a gaming system.
But some familiar plastic faces like Barbie also expected to shine. Steve Ervolino, Fox News Radio.
The best of the music world gathering in Los Angeles for tomorrow's Grammy Awards. Among the top nominees, Mary J. Blige, the Dixie Chicks, and Justin Timberlake. Hey, he brought sexy back. I'm Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
We got music and weather for you here on KSCO.
Good morning. You are listening to AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz on the web at KSEO.com. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your Central Coast roadways. Covered Bridge Drive at Felton Hill Road. Up in the Santa Cruz Mountains, there is a traffic collision. Two vehicles are involved. CHP is on scene. And in the Pacific Grove Seaside area, Highway 68 at Highway 1, a traffic collision. Two vehicles are also involved there. Your KSEO Central Coast weather forecast for the rest of today. Just call for periods of rain. Highs near 60. Winds south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Rainfall near possibly 1 inch. And tonight, periods of rain, lows 49, winds south at 5 to 10 miles an hour. 6 minutes past 11 a.m., you are listening to AM 1080 KSEO on the web at KSEO.com. Time now for hour number two of the Saturday special with your host, MZ.
Oh, a double ring.
Hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby. But I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Well, for what it's worth, Supervisor Jan Butz's stock with me went up significantly last hour because she called and talked with us for such a long time on the radio. It's great.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio.
Okay, and just so you know...
The following is a special announcement from KSCO co-owner Michael Zwirling.
My mother Kay recently handed me a letter written to her by a very distraught elderly woman who owns a home in Live Oak. The problem is, this woman's home and family haven for 55 years is about to be put on a list by the County of Santa Cruz that would designate it as a possible historical resource, which would mean that its value would be substantially reduced. Ironically, the KSCO building on Portola Drive is slated to be put on an even more ominous list by the County of Santa Cruz. The definite, not possible, historical resource list. Some owners would be pleased and honored to have their properties listed on such an historical resource list, but many, perhaps most, others would prefer to opt out and decline the honor. Here's the rub. It doesn't matter if you don't want your property on the historical list to be nationalized by the county. If the county wants your property, it is going to take it, pay you nothing, and there is nothing you can do about it. Or is there? Tune into the next KSCO special, and let's talk about what we can do about this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. If you care about the critical issue of property rights, please listen and participate.
KSCO AM 1080, the station for intelligent people only. Stupid people must tune to another station immediately.
Okay, we don't ordinarily do the...
It must be, it has to be. With that big sound, it's gotta be KSCO.
I'm going to stop playing jingles now here. So we don't normally play the promo twice, but I figured if people are just tuning in at 11 o'clock, they should know what this program is all about. A very, very productive hour number one, and in which Grandma Margie Hosier and her grandsons Tony and Steve, who are in the studio with us today on the Saturday special, told their story. And Supervisor Jan Butes of our particular Live Oak District called in and spent a good 20-25 minutes with us, which I thought was very nice. And I think she heard both from my mother and from me and from Grandma Margie and her grandsons that what the county is about to do or possibly has done is wrong in terms of historicalizing, if you will, properties owned by owners who do not want their properties historicalized. So I think she got an earful, and I hope she will do the right thing as a supervisor. Of course, she's only one of five, but... it's my understanding that two of the supervisors are more property rights oriented people than not, and the other three are not. Jan being in the other three. I think, you know, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I believe. I believe that that there is nothing more sacred than a person's own private property rights. It doesn't matter what the neighbors around think, because neighbors are always going to want to have your property be their private viewshed that they don't have to pay mortgages or taxes on in any way. Let you do that and not be allowed to develop your property. And there's a whole lot of that attitude that's very pervasive in the Santa Cruz area, because people are so... concerned about that dreaded D word, development. And it's true that development, high density development, has been permitted to run rampant, I guess, in the county many, many, many years ago, 40 plus years back. But I think the pendulum has swung so far in the opposite direction that it's absolutely outrageous. So topic of this program is historical designation, and should a property owner be forced to have his or her property put on such a list if he or she does not want that to happen. 479-1080 is the phone number to call. We got a phone lines jammed. If you're on the rate, if you're waiting on hold right now, stay there. We promise we'll get to you. We're going to try to move through it pretty quickly. But before we do that, we're going to hear from Kay's latest commentary. It should be about 3.5 minutes. So sit tight. And Rick, I think, is on his way into the other room right now where he will have to play the commentary. So I won't be able to hear it until Rick comes on and says, here it is. So I think I'll wait for that, if that's the case here. yeah, for the cue here.
You
so,
all
Rick,
set,
if you can come on and tell me when we're ready, maybe what we should do is take one or two of the phone calls first. Joe, yeah, why don't we do that until I hear that Rick comes on and tells me that the commentary is ready to play. Joe has been waiting an awful long time on line three. Joe, you're on the air.
Z, I'm going to just fire it off.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is Kay's Whirling.
Some of you may be wondering what Judge Roy Moore of Alabama has been doing since he was removed from the bench for refusing to remove the Ten Commandments from his courtroom wall. Judge Moore was sued by the ACLU for the crime of displaying the Ten Commandments in his courtroom foyer. He has been stripped of his judgeship, and now the ACLU is trying to strip his right to practice law in Alabama. Is this evil or what? If you don't believe in God, I suggest you pass on listening to Judge Moore's following poem. America the beautiful, or so you used to be, land of the pilgrim's pride. I'm glad they'll never see babies piled in dumpsters, abortion on demand. Oh, sweet land of liberty, your house is on the sand. Our children wander aimlessly, poisoned by cocaine, choosing to indulge their lusts when God has said, abstain. From sea to shining sea, our nation turns away from the teaching of God's love and the need to always pray. We've kept God in our temples. How callous we have grown when earth is but his footstool and heaven is his throne. We've voted in a government that's rotting at the core, appointing godless judges who throw reason out the door. Too soft to place a killer in a well-deserved tomb, but brave enough to kill a baby before he leaves the womb. You think that God's not angry, that our land's a moral slum? How much longer will he wait before his judgment come? How are we to face our God from whom we cannot hide? What then is left for us to do but stem this evil tide? If we who are his children will humbly turn and pray, seek his holy face and mend our evil way, then God will hear from heaven and forgive us of our sins. He'll heal our sickly land and those who live within. But America the beautiful, if you don't, then you will see a sad but holy God withdraw his hand from thee. And underneath is signed Judge Roy Moore. And I say, this says it all. What is happening to our world? How is it possible that goodness is punished and evil is condoned? For KSCO and KOMY, this is Kay's Whirling.
If someone should ask, tell them you heard it on AM 1080, KSCO.
Okay, I guess we're back on the Saturday special. Thank you, Rick. Wow, great commentary. Thanks, Ma. All right, it's 11:15 on your favorite radio station, AM 1080, KSCO. The topic of discussion today is historical preservation, that's what we're going to be discussing right up until 12 noon. And it looks like our phone lines are jammed, but we did not run our commercials last hour, so we're going to run a few minutes of those right now. Please bear with us. We'll get back into the meat of the program right after you hear about 2.5-3 minutes of commercials. Stay tuned and listen to these commercials, ladies and gentlemen, because if it wasn't for these companies that are supporting KSCO, you wouldn't hear this program. Take it away, Rick.
Your children are growing up in a competitive world. When it comes to their education, you want to choose a school that will teach them how to think and express themselves clearly so they'll be able to command their own lives. There is such a school right here in Santa Cruz, the Cardin School. Listen to what parents have to say about Cardin.
My husband and I are both martial artists, and some of the things that are important to us are respect. We think that Cardin offers that, and the children are learning manners. And here at Cardin, that is something that's very, very important. Manners, respect, honor, and what they're doing, learning.
We chose Cardin because we liked the small class sizes, and we liked all the teachers that we had met. It felt like it was a great fit for my son.
For over six decades, children from kindergarten through eighth grade have learned to succeed by attending Cardin schools. Find out for yourselves. Visit Cardin at 319 La Fonda Street in Santa Cruz, or call 460-2600, 460-2600.
Gary, how should I tell my love that what I really want this Valentine's Day is to be remembered in a very special way?
Well, Gina, you could suggest go.
Life's good at the beach. Hello, I'm Joe Criccio, owner of Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz, where life is good. One reason why life is so good at Beach Auto Sales is that we save you money, a lot of money, on the best pre-owned cars, trucks, and vans you'll find anywhere, like Beach Auto's Deal of the Week. Listen to this.
It's a 2003 Mercedes CLK 430 convertible in excellent condition with chrome wheels and all the goodies, like new, retails for $38,000, wholesales for $31,500. Yours right now at Beach Auto in Santa Cruz for only $28,900. That's right. Save $10,000 cash on a like-new 2003 Mercedes CLK 430 convertible right now at Beach Auto in Santa Cruz, where life's good.
Save money on your next car, truck, or van. Make a quick trip to see Joe Criccio at Beach Auto Sales in Santa Cruz. Located down by the beach where life's good, I'm at 512 Pacific Avenue. And hey, if you're having a special car or truck in mind, give me a ring. I'll find it for you. I'm Joe Criccio, owner of Beach Auto Sales. 4200-200. That's right. My phone number is 4200-200.
Your Storm Watch Station. Here when you need us. AM 1080 KSCO.
Okay, welcome back to the meat of the program, AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station, MZ and KZ and Rick O'Shea with guests in the studio, Grandma Margie Hosier and her grandsons Tony and Steve. We're talking about historical preservation of properties and properties being put on a historical preservation list against the will of the owners. We're not talking about eminent domain. We're not talking about anything like that. We're not talking about any kind of compensation. We're talking about what I consider, and many others consider, a taking of land. What do you think about this? Give us a call at 479-1080. I erroneously put Joe on the air earlier when we were doing the commentary, so let's bring back Joe right now and say welcome back, Joe. You're on.
Yeah, Michael. You know, I think the last case commentary dovetailed beautifully with this issue. I didn't plan to mention it when I started to speak earlier, but a nation that allows the abortion of its innocent children is a nation that will have no qualms with the taking of our private property rights, of everything that we hold near and dear to us. And I think, you know, when these things happen, there's always a lag time before we feel it. And now it's been 30 years, and now these types of things are really becoming, well, they're becoming evident to you, obviously. For many of us, I mean, we've seen it a mile away, even though...
Well, I became sensitive to property rights issues in 1979. I literally turned into a redneck overnight when I tried to get a permit in the city of Santa Cruz on a lot that was on a slope to build a house. And I was treated as if I was trying to develop all the open space on the coast between Santa Cruz and San Francisco. And I figured, hey, this is not right. And so my politics sort of changed as a result of that. But I didn't mean to interrupt, Joe. Go ahead.
No, well, you know, maybe I was a little harsh in my analyzing your conversion. But but I still don't believe it's complete. And anyway,
you mean because I still encourage people who disagree with me to call the conservative radio station? Is that what you're referring to?
No, I'm not referring to that.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Anyway, the grandsons who are there, you know, I just thank God for them because they were a voice of clarity in a sea of obfuscation by the supervisor, and obviously, I suppose she's a moderate, or you know, compared to what you have over there. But they laid it out perfectly. We want to be able to develop our land or sell our land to take care of ourselves as we see fit, as is prescribed by the Constitution of the United States of America. And we don't need our elected representatives lording it over us after we give them positions of power and they become our overlords.
Yeah. Okay, Joe. Hey, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special. Always good to hear from you. That was Joe in somewhere. Okay, I don't know. I don't know who are on the various lines, except I know on line four.
I think Dean Sutton is online too. He might be an interesting
call
to take
okay.
in this sort of scenario.
All right, lawyer Dean from the legal program, Law of the Land. Dean, is that you?
I'm here. This is Dean Sutton.
Are you in Morocco?
No, I'm back from Africa and Jamaica and a bunch of other places, and this terrible, terrible cold of virus had me flattened.
We better put you back on hold. We don't want to catch it, and we don't want to expose our audience to your cold. And thank you for being considerate to warn us. No, go ahead.
Listen, just some comments. The historical designation, as you mentioned, it's important whether or not it's a local or a state one, and it's kind of a two-edged sword. For most people. If they get on it, it's not a bad thing in a sense that it protects their property. They can go in and talk to the county tax assessor, and they say, this is now historical. My value is now less. I want my property taxes to go down. And if you have something that you don't want to change, it's in a really wonderful condition, you want to keep it the way it is, then it for those very few cases, it's not so bad. For other people, it's really bad. If for some reason a private home gets put on the designation, it really chills the value. It also means that you have to go through all kinds of bowing to local bureaucrats to get any kind of changes. On one hand, you can be exempt from the requirements for the, if you have a historical house, you go in, if you want to fix the roof, you don't have to put in double pane windows and, you know, bring it up to modern code. But you can't tear it down and build a new house either. You can't put in a fourplex that you normally would have done on the land. So it can just dramatically take the value of the property. Then the next question is, is it taking under the Constitution? Is it something, as your mother kept asking, why doesn't the county buy the property? For the individual people you have involved there, they might be able to, you know, create some paper, and this has to be done in paper given the county bureaucratic mentality. You put back in and show why it should not be made designated historical. To qualify for the inventory of historical properties, they look at the age, it has to be over 50 years, historical architecture, and most importantly, cultural or social historic significance. So if you had, you know, let's pretend, if you had, you know, the mansion of some famous person there that's been there forever, you know, somebody famous slept here, and it's got inherent cultural value. I mean, this is Earl Warren's house, or so, you know, something that has something to do with the history of California, that would stick out like a sore thumb. Just Fred's shack somewhere on property near the beach should not be designated historical. The state has a commission that goes around and plucks out, you know, the landmarks. Then you get the little brass plaque, and you know, this was, you know, some famous person's house. And the people that own that tend to like that because it has tourist appeal. Usually these are, you don't want to change them because you want to go visit, you know, where, you know, Benjamin Franklin's house. You want to go visit Frank Lloyd Wright's building. You know, you don't want it to change. That's the whole point. But, it's really an overreaching, often, in my opinion, for like a local agency to decide, okay, this is cute. Let's just light up all the old houses in town and say you can't change them. That's an overreaching. That's an abuse. But it's an administrative abuse. The judges usually, as a rule, do not second-guess that too much. There's a famous case, the Supreme Court case, recent one, where they said that it was too much. The local agency had reached too far to say you could not develop your own land. They called it all wetland. Even though a little corner was wetland, the rest of the 50 acres was totally available for development. And they said that was too much. Where you cross that kind of fuzzy line from regulation to taking.
Yeah. Well, in any case, I've been using the word nationalizing the property. I don't know if you heard the promo.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. And it might have already happened. It might have already happened with the KSCO property because we were fools and didn't go to that meeting and scream. But Jan said that we might be able to reverse that if that indeed happened, which was nice.
You might. And ironically, it might actually be kind of a left-handed benefit, to keep the Art Deco nature of the property and to actually get taxes reduced.
Uh-huh. Oh, no, that doesn't happen. Because we did ask that question at the meeting that we did go to. And they said, unfortunately, there is no provision for a tax a reduction in property taxes at this time. They're looking into it.
If you're on the state list, you can apply. But even if you're if your property taxes go down, you can go petition. You can put file papers to have the county assessor reduce your assessment and therefore your taxes.
Yeah.
Because of something, after the earthquake, for example, or after... things that happen around here. Several for clients.
Yeah, we don't need to do it. We don't need to do any of that at this
point.
For this lady
in her home, and I mean the important, it does obviously chill the value of the land because if somebody might say, I'd like to knock it down, you're going to put in a nice new home. Well, that's not going. It's not going to be impossible. It's not impossible to sell. It just affects the value because it makes it harder. If somebody were going to try to build on it, to go and get permission.
Sure. Okay. Hey, thanks for calling. Nice to have you back. Hope we hear you on the radio at a good daytime time slot one of these days.
All right. We'll talk.
Okay. Take care. That was Dean Sutton. Next caller will be Gary in Live Oak. Is it Gary in Live Oak?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Gary. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I think if it was internationalization of the property, it would be more accurate. It was 1998. They passed Measure J, and you were the first ones to be slapped down with your property. Talking about Robert Levy using the planning department as a political weapon, her nomination papers were circulated by a man by the name of Hugh DeLacy. And there is, in fact, a monument voted by Jan Buttes that is on the left-hand side approaching the courthouse. He was an enforcer for the Communist Party, and it was honored at the Loudon Nelson Center by Gary Patton and Leon Panetta and the whole bunch of them. What's happening with housing locally, but we haven't heard Jeannie for a while, is the...
I think she's on hold now,
okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
But anyway, the Agenda 21 guide, the final draft, 1997, has a whole section on housing, and they're doing exactly what they said in there. The preface to this thing is it says, whatever our individual aspirations are, that we are first and foremost earthlings, that's in other words for world citizens, we cannot pursue our futures as individuals or as sovereign nations. Our future is truly a common future. That's Maurice Strong. This is what they don't believe in, the individual, private property, or any of this stuff. Goals, Agenda 21 has been adopted throughout the Monterey Bay. One of the people that was on the housing section in this particular book was Nicholas Papadakis, who is the head of the Association of Monterey Bay Area Governments, which this whole Bay Area needs to know about. But also there was a man by the name of Michael Shaw, who now is opposing this and has a website called Freedom 21. But there's a lot more to it than just moral lapses of judgment or not understanding private property rights. It is organized evil. It's designed to harmonize laws regionally for this merger with the UN and Canada and Mexico and the whole thing. But I'd love to see a Sunday night program, something like this, where we keep after these local governments and go after the real the backgrounds and the machinations of some of these people. And they're not all as innocent as they sound. But
well, let's see what we can do about that, okay?
Thank God for your radio station.
Thank you, Gary. Appreciate your kind words. Okay, Jeannie, let's see if it's the Jeannie. I think it is. Is it Jeannie? Jeannie?
It's me.
Hey, welcome back. Haven't heard from you in a while. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, we've been down Central America. I'm on the road. I'm on the cell. And I just want to make a few comments that will clarify everything. Gary is right. It's they're going by the international law right now. But whenever a home has a historical status, who the government agent is the National Park Service. And they are notorious for taking away private property. Whenever a home is designated as a historical home or building, then what happens is the government comes in as your partner. And as you know, Michael, government is your partner. They always win. I heard that Jan Buttes was on the first hour. I did not hear her. This is an evil woman. I have been at public meetings, and I have asked her about Agenda 21. And publicly she has said to me, Jeannie, I cannot talk about Agenda 21. And so this woman, she talks for 25 minutes, but she is very much against property rights. And she is one of the supervisors, I believe it's Marty, that also they have red tagged the most properties in Santa Cruz County. So Jan Buttes, if you're listening, you are evil, and they are not going by the United States Constitution. They are going by international laws to harmonize everything. And the only way they can control us, MZ, is to take away our property, which means take away our wealth.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Jeannie, chilling words. I hope you're wrong. I really hope you're wrong. But thanks for calling the Saturday special. Take care. Okay, here comes Bob, our next call. I don't know where Bob is calling from, but you're on, Bob.
It's Bob Listener.
Oh, hey, Bob. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm gonna be as factual as possible in this. I want to get back to the historical designation. Can you hear me all right?
Just fine, Bob.
Okay. I had some experience with a historical designation in a different district, not in Jan Buttes' district. What happened was we were put on a historical list for a property I own in a different district. It's the second district. What all I had to do was to call the supervisor's office. I talked to the supervisor's aide. In this case, it was Ellen Perry's district. And she told me that, the aide told me that Ellen Perry would call me back in 10 minutes, which she did. Ellen Perry called me back in 10 minutes and said that my property would be brought up in the next supervisor's meeting. I went to the next supervisor's meeting and made my case. And Ellen Perry right away took my property off the list. So what I want to do, Mike, is to compliment Ellen Perry for her positive behavior toward my concerns. So what you do, I could be wrong about this. The first thing you do is you call the supervisor, which I assume the people you had on here did. I didn't quite get that part because I turned it in late and talked to the supervisor's aide. It took about a week to get my property off the list.
And it had been on a list, Bob. It was actually on a list, or it was on a proposed list.
It was a proposed list, and they took it off. And I was the first one that they took off by simply going to the Board of Supervisors. And
hello. I don't know what happened to poor Bob, but poor Bob is gone. Okay, you're listening to the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. Let's go to our next caller, Mike. I don't know where you are, Mike, but you're on the air on KSCO now.
Mike in Santa Cruz.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Where all this is headed, there are three executive orders, presidential executive orders I'd like to just cover just very briefly. Don't worry. But people could get their pencils out because I'll give the numbers. One is Clinton, number 13006. It has to do with encouraging the location of federal facilities on these properties, these in historic districts, in the registry. The second one is Richard Nixon, 11593. One phrase, cooperate with purchases and transferees of a property listed in the National Register of Historic Places. And the next one, Jimmy Carter, 12072. Identifying and seeking out the availability of existing federally controlled facilities. That's facilities which are in the registry for the utilization of buildings of historical, architectural, and cultural significance, and for the acquisition of utilization of existing privately owned facilities. These three executive orders, plus things like the National Historic Preservation Act of 1966 and the National Environmental Policy Act of 1969, all have to do with the government being able to take over private property for their own use. They can set up military outposts, any kind of government offices that they want. This thing is big. All we're seeing is, thank you, Tony, for bringing all this. You've really done a lot of work. You know me from the past. And I'm going to give you a call. I hope people will look up these executive orders, and I'm going to bring you some copies, Tony, so you can see what you've got a hold of. It's really insidious. And, yes, Jan Buttes is an evil liar. She could through the whole conversation with her, she displayed a gross insensitivity to people's personal property rights. She would not address that. She would hem and haw and beat around the bush. I'm glad it went on the air.
I will still, it's no secret over the years since we've had KSCO that my personal feelings about property rights are almost 180 degrees that of Jan's. But that's how Jan gets herself elected, because most of the people are what's mine is mine and what's yours is mine type people in Live Oak, and that's the way you get elected, by being the candidate of the neighbors. And I think Jan is clearly, gotten that good reputation for herself. But I do salute her nonetheless for calling into the radio program and engaging.
Jan.
So I think that exhibited some real class. I really do. Okay.
Z, we can't hear Mike on this end. You might want to go ahead and just drop Mike and move on.
Okay. We can't hear Mike?
No, not on this end.
That's strange. Oh, you mean at all? You mean it was just dead air for 5 minutes?
Yes. Well, not for 5 minutes, just the last bit there, but
okay,
plenty
well, let's,
of calls,
let's go
so
back
let's
to let's
on.
Go back. Thank you, Rick. Let's go back to Bob, who was cut off before.
Well, all I wanted to say was that I sympathize with the people that you have on the program there, but I can't suggest to tell them what to do, but one of the things that should be done, you call the supervisor first and get in contact with that
okay.
person, whoever the supervisor is.
Point established, and we just did that publicly.
I mean, I'm talking about the person involved, like the lady in Live Oak that you spoke to. There's a way of working the system here.
Yeah, everybody's still in the studio, I think, right? Mom and Grandma Margie and
yes.
Okay.
I don't know.
Tony
know
and Steve.
I got cut off because I didn't touch the. I didn't touch my phone.
Yeah. Nor did I. But you were just gone. Anyhow, I think
one of the things I'd also like to do is it all involves getting politically active. You have to take some time to find out what's going on at the Board of Supervisors. Get involved in political campaigns and spend a little time engaging in what I like to call sweat equity. And not just wait till something happens. And you've got to form coalitions and network with other people who have the same problems you do.
Yeah.
That's the way you do things around here, no matter what your political beliefs are.
It's true.
And so I guess that covers the ground as Harry Belafonte used to say in his song.
Okay. Bob, always great to hear from you. Take care, okay? Bye-bye. Here comes Pat. Is this population, Pat?
Hi.
Oh,
no,
it's a different Pat.
Pat from Aptos.
Hi, Pat from Aptos. How are you?
I am fine.
Good.
As a friend, I want to say that you have been able to fill your hour. 2 hours. You were curious how you were going to do it.
I was only kidding, actually. I knew there would be a lot of callers.
Yeah. I am actually in Pleasant Hill with grandchildren right now, and I had a call from husband to tell me to tune you in. I don't know if you know this, but in my other life, I am the chair of the Historic Resources Commission.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I'm familiar with what's going on, and I really appreciate that Jan called in and that you gave her so much time. The problem is I don't think people were listening to what she had to say.
Well, we're going to post it on the website.
Okay, yeah. Because what the two things she said, and probably the most important thing she said, she mentioned CEQA, the California Environmental Quality Act.
Yeah.
It's a state law. It isn't a county. It has nothing to do, you know, we just enforce a state law. And if they want to attack this, it should be attacked through the state at CEQA. They're attacking and they're taking aim at the wrong people the wrong agency.
Well, it seems to me that the agency and the people are being redundant now, especially if it's covered. Why do they need anything at all at the county level? That's what I don't understand.
Well, it's strictly carrying out the state, what's mandated by the state. That's all. But we don't have a lot of time, but you read an email from a fellow who spent $30,000 on his property to keep it off the list.
Yes.
What happened was, and it isn't a list, okay? It's a zoning designation. All right. He did not want to have what he wanted to do was he wanted to tear down the house. And in order to do that, or to make any kind of real big changes to it, you have to go through the planning department. Well, that triggers CEQA.
Yeah.
Because it was an old property. It was an old house. Had he been an NR6, he would have just sailed right through. He could have done whatever he wanted to do.
Pat, I love you, but I don't know that people trust that you'll be able to do that. I mean,
well, but see, I'm sorry, I'm not more eloquent, but anyway,
doing fine.
Or you could take your property, or we could take Grandma Margie's property.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ironic the terms that you use. We could take your property. That's exactly what's happening.
We're not taking your property.
I know what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
Freudian slip there, right, Pat?
Oh yes, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Anyway, had that particular property been on a zoned NR6, then the fellow would have been able to do whatever he wanted to do with the property, because NR6 means that it has been found not to be historically significant. Okay? But it wasn't NR6.
But teetering, as Grandma would
say. But Grandma, that's not correct. It has been determined not to be historically significant. Now, it says at this time, and that makes people nervous. But at this time is when it was determined, okay? It could be considered later, but so could any property.
Did you hear Steve's eloquent speech during last hour?
Which one was Steve?
Well, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I hope I'm right. I hope it wasn't your brother that made the. I think it was you who made the impassioned plea to Jan, which I think made her really sit back and take note of what you were saying.
Now, is this Grandma Margie's grandson?
Yes. One of them. The other is Tony. He's also there.
Because I don't understand. I don't know which property is, and I don't need to know, but you said, I think it's been designated as an NR6. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, if you want to improve it,
No. We don't want to improve it. We want to get rid of it.
Okay. You want to sell it.
Right.
You can sell it.
And the fact that NR6 has already scared one realtor away. Realtors will give their left you-know-what to get a listing, you know. And this person who was calling Grandma to inquire about possibly listing her house suddenly lost all interest when she said that her house is on an NR6 list.
So we understand what your job is, and we really appreciate that. So when you get back to Aptos, give us a call, then you come down here and you help us get our name off the list.
Excuse me. Look, if you said it was historically designated,
no, we didn't.
That's incorrect. If you said it NR6, That shouldn't have scared the realtor. That means the realtor doesn't
understand.
Well, it
did. So why don't you come down here and we can talk face to face, and you don't have to go through all these, because then you'll see what the property is. You'll meet my grandmother, and you'll be an individual meeting another individual, and then maybe you'll have a little understanding and compassion for us instead of just putting us in this list of what you used to do.
Is Grandma laughing in the background?
Yes.
See, the problem is, there are a lot of misconceptions out there.
You need to be a talk.
Who hid the handicap ramp in the back?
We don't know if there is one for sure.
Yeah. No, but somebody said that they built a handicap ramp, but they hid it in the back.
What about it?
Because it was historic.
What about it?
Well, why I'm asking is that there is nothing. I mean, people put Valencia Hall. Okay, I don't know if you're familiar with Vince Valencia Hall, but it's on the National.
We're talking about Grandma's
places.
House.
I know, but this is an NR1. It is on the National Register of Historic Places out in Aptos. It has a handicap ramp. We put a handicap ramp on it as we restored it. You can have handicap ramps on historical property.
Okay, we don't want the ramp. We want to take care of my Aunt Frances. That's our concern, is we want to sell that, get as much money as we can, and set her up for life. That's all we care about.
Okay.
Not get 40% less.
Right. So you come down and help us do that, okay?
Okay. I'll talk to you in person.
Pat, you can do that. Here, you can do that. You can get that through. You want to give out your phone number on the air, Steve, or not?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll put you in touch.
Tell me what Margie's last name is. You've said it once.
Hosier. Did I spell it right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. I have the paperwork. Okay. It's just not here with me.
Thanks
right
for calling, Pat.
Wait, Michael.
We got to move on. And my mother is sighing, and that means we really better move on. You know, because she, okay, now Pat hung up and she's mad, Mom.
I did that.
Who did that?
Rick did.
Rick hung up.
You got to keep it going.
Okay, thank you, Rick. Who's on line six? It's probably me, okay?
That's you. Let's not talk to you.
All right, there's nobody calling now.
Line eight.
I know. Line eight. I'm going to get, but nobody besides Tom. And we do have we have 3 minutes of commercials, is that right?
Yes.
We still have to play, so we're still going to have to. So anybody else who wants to call in, you got it. You got some time now, 479-1080. But now let's go to Tom. You're on the air, Tom.
Yeah, Mike. Thanks for doing the show.
Thanks for waiting. Hey, I was going to call you about who to have on this show, but I guess I didn't need to.
Well, I just hope we have enough of the American spirit left that people stand up for their rights. I mean, how many of these little BS government intrusions in people's lives are people going to put up with? I mean, it was amazing listening to Jan Butte. She just rolls off her lips hundreds of little things that would be forced on people against their will. I mean, it's if they have no consideration of what free will is. In their sort of coercive utopian minds, they're going to create a world where they'll tell us what to do from early in the morning until late at night, and we're just supposed to sit there and smile and pay the extra bills. I mean, it's just crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. Anyway, folks, look at capropertyrights.org. And we file a lot of lawsuits against these people, and we need to file more lawsuits against them. This is a constitutional issue. They're taking your right to control your own home away from you. You should sue them. That's all I wanted to say.
Good. Now, capropertyrights.org.
Sue these people, folks. Stand up for your rights. It's your home. It's not their home.
Okay.
Anyway.
Is there some way that the radio station could sort of maybe act as a clearinghouse for people to sort of like we did with Citizens for Planning Reform? That's why the Zwirlings own the radio station to begin with, because I happened to be hanging around the station doing the Citizens for Planning Reform talk show starting in 1988.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's when I heard that it was for sale. Yeah.
We should throw a party.
Yeah.
We should throw a big party and have all the people who are concerned about these things. We should have Mike Shaw there because he's got a property rights group. We should have the capropertyrights.org people there. We should have you there and the people. I mean, there's so many people. I mean, there's probably 10,000 people have red tags right now. I mean, how far are people going to let this thing go before they stand up and fight for their rights? We own the houses. They don't own the houses. They've got it all wrong. They think they own everything.
Uh-huh.
They want us to pay the bill for all their little crazy programs.
Speaking of programs, are you doing the next one, Perspectives?
Dr. Biles is doing a show. Today I'm taking the day off, and Dr. Biles is covering for me. He's doing a show on holistic health.
Ah.
Okay.
So it will be good. Anyway, God bless
everyone. Tom Quinn, thanks for calling in. That was Tom, the driving force, original driving force behind the perspectives. Donald Davis is on also. He is the host most of the time here, but I guess Dr. David Miles will be the host next hour. Rick, I think it's time for some commercials.
That sounds about right.
Am I right? But yes. But I won't be able to hear when they're on, so I'm going to call and let myself in here, 479-100-1080. Okay, and then I'll be able to hear the cue here, okay? So you have to run the commercials from the other room, am I right?
No, I can do them from right here.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Okay, well, yeah, that sounds good.
You all ready?
I'm all ready.
It's time for the Wine Corner, featuring the fine wine folks from the store with the best selection of wine in Santa Cruz County. That's Shopper's Corner at Brand Sofforti and Soquel in Santa Cruz.
I'm Brian Hamilton. I'm one of the wine buyers here. Right now, we actually just brought in what's called a Pedro Ximenez, which is one of the main grapes that go into making things such as cream sherry. And it's just 100% Pedro Ximenez grape. And when you pour it into a glass, it's so thick that it just absolutely it looks like oil. And it tastes like just glorious liquid raisins. And the classic pairing is blue cheese, like an English Stilton or a Maytag Blue.
Make a good meal a great one. Stop by Shopper's Corner and ask the fine wine folks for the perfect wine to go with your meal. For the best selection of wine in Santa Cruz County, it's Shopper's Corner, the store with the wooden floor.
And for the win.
Okay, let's see. A popular vacation destination in southern Italy, Quilici.
Oh, sorry. Contestant number two, it's up to you.
Oh, absolutely.
A common name for the endangered East African weaver bird, Quilici. No. Contestant number three?
Quilici. Why, of course. The name for gardening and landscape services in Santa Cruz County.
Hi, I'm Randy Quilici, owner of Quilici Gardening and Landscaping. It's true, Quilici may be a little hard to pronounce, but it's been a trusted name in the landscape industry since 1982. Call me at 425-5269. I'd love to personally show you some beautiful gardens and landscapes we've created and maintained, and just what we can do for you.
And remember, it's Quilici, the name to know for gardening and landscaping services in Santa Cruz County. 425-5269 or at QuiliciGardening.com.
The Dell & Nelson Harbert Insurance Agency. We strive to make the business of insurance stress-free. Come to our friendly office and meet our family. The Dell & Nelson Harbert Insurance Agency. Insurance Agency. Homeowners, auto coverage, liability, health and life. Nonprofits, business owners, earthquake and flood. Our agency is on your side. We're a family-owned agency since 1922. Services priority, depend on us for you. Depend on us for you.
You guys were going so good.
We are Bedell Nelson Harbert Insurance in Santa Cruz since 1922, representing Allied Insurance, a nationwide company on your side. 426-3700. That's 426-3700.
Red Hot News Talk, AM 1080, KSCO.
Okay, welcome back. We're in the closing 6 or 5 minutes of our radio program today, the Saturday special with MZ, KZ, Grandma Margie, and her grandsons Tony and Steve, along with you, the callers. But here, let's do this nice jingle here.
KSCO 1080 on your dial.
Okay, so
good morning.
No,
I think we already did that.
Yeah, we did all that, so forget it. The computer doesn't stop. It just plays everything that it feels like playing. It sort of has a mind of its own. All right, 4.5 minutes remain. If you want to call 479-1080's last chance to get in on this program. It was a pretty good program. Do you think we accomplished anything, Mom, Grandma, Tony, Steve? What do you think?
I think this was a very worthwhile program. I do.
Why?
Well, I think a lot of people who didn't know what's going on and should know what's going on do know what's going on now.
Margie, Tony, and Steve, do you think the NR6 designation of your property is going to be an ugly memory soon?
Yeah. I don't really know what it's going to mean, but just live and learn, I guess.
Right. Well, that's good. Yeah, and
I would like to say that for us, the main thing is that we at least got our point out there. I mean, we may get screwed out of this whole thing. We probably will, but at least we can say we came out, we got a voice. You gave us that voice, and I appreciate you and Kay doing this for us. So at least we can, you know, die with dignity kind of thing.
Jeez.
And, I think you should be more positive about it.
Well, and then the thing is, you know, the people that make these decisions, that's our tax money and our property money that's paying their wages to do that to us. So, you know, I know we're fighting an uphill battle, and, you know, I just want all the property owners, you know, you may not think this is affecting you now, but in another 20, 30 years, you're going to hit that 50-year mark on your house, and then you will be affected by this.
I wonder.
And I think those that are getting elected might be thinking, if these property owners quit voting for us, maybe we got to start doing something to help them out.
I wonder how any of the supervisors would feel about being on the having their properties on the historical.
I don't think that would ever dare happen.
Well, I don't think it would matter, because I think if they have enough of our money to keep them comfortable, they'll just go move to somewhere else and they'll keep that house here. We don't have that luxury.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's take the last couple callers if we can. Jim in Santa Cruz, welcome to KSCO, the Saturday special. You're on.
Hey, you guys did a great show today. I think that individual property rights are a big, important thing for you to bring out. That was really great.
Okay.
Awesome.
Well, thank you very much.
I think you ought to invite Jan Buth and all of the supervisors to come on.
We did. All of them were invited to come on, to call in. And to her credit, Jan was the only one who accepted our invitation, which I like that a lot. I think that's great. So thank you very much, Jim. Here's another Jim in Boulder Creek. You're on, Jim.
I also wanted to briefly respond to, I think her name was Mary, that talked about the problem being with CEQA, not the county.
That was Pat, yeah.
Pat, excuse me. And I don't know if that's the case in this instance, but often that is a strategy I've seen happen in the county before, where they try to elevate something to the state level. Example, with the Regional Water Quality Control Board and septic systems and that sort of thing. Many times you'll go down to complain about, let's say, the one-acre minimum or whatever, and they will sell you, no, don't complain to us. That's not our doing. You have to go to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, which is instead.
And I heard that, too. And so especially if they're pointing to that, then why do we need anything at the local level? It just doesn't make any sense. Anyhow, thanks very much for your call to the Saturday special Boulder Creek Gym. There's someone on line one. I don't know who it is. Who is it?
Oh, yeah, this is Jim again. So I got disconnected, and I had one comment to make.
Okay.
Earlier I heard a caller on there who was connecting property rights with being against abortion, and I don't understand how people that are for personal property rights are against a woman's right to choose what happens in her own body.
Yeah.
And I think that guy really needs to think about that.
Whole other subject. Thanks, Jim. Okay, yep. Appreciate it. Gee, 45 seconds remain. I want to thank Grandma Margie, grandsons Tony and Steve, my mom, Kay, couldn't have a better mom in the world. You, the callers, and Rick, in particular,
yes,
our pilot in command, thank you very much for doing a great job on the Saturday special, which will be rebroadcast tonight between the hours of 10 p.m. and midnight, or on demand on the web at SaturdaySpecial.com or through our KSCO.com website. So anyhow, there we go.
That's all, folks.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey. It's 12 noon. Here's the news.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. He's all in.
It's time to turn the page right here and right now.
Illinois Democrat Barack Obama officially launching his presidential campaign from Springfield, Illinois, saying he'll lead a new generation to change a nation.
We can set up a system for capping greenhouse gases. We can turn this crisis of global warming into a moment of opportunity for innovation and job creation and an incentive for businesses that will serve as a model for the world.
Fox's Carl Cameron was there for the announcement and tells us what's ahead for Obama.
Now all the rhetoric of his hope and idealism will face the tough scrutiny on the campaign.
campaign trail of the nation's media, the voters, and his opposition, a Democratic field with eight candidates and growing almost by the week.
Obama served as a senator for 2 years. On the Republican side, Rudy Giuliani, a potential presidential candidate on the West Coast, gearing up to address a GOP convention.
Analysts say his challenge is clear. As a moderate Republican viewed as liberal on social issues like gay rights, abortion, and gun control, could he win the nomination? Giuliani is also fundraising in California for the more than $100 million he'll need for his run for the White House.
Fox's William Lajeunesse in Sacramento. General David Petraeus, taking over multinational forces in Iraq, gave a pep talk of sorts, staying focused on the mission at hand.
We will all have to share the burdens and move forward together. If we can do that, and if we can help the people of Iraq do likewise, then the prospects for success are good.
At a formal ceremony, Petraeus thanked outgoing head General George Casey for his leadership and sacrifice. Casey is taking over the job of Army Chief of Staff. Parrish, New York, hit the century mark. The Oswego County town with 100 inches of snow on the ground, all from lake effect snows that started about a week ago in that area. Today, it's calm blue skies, but forecasters predict even more snow for the region through Monday. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
The jury is in, and it's time for my ruling in the matter of LegalZoom.com making it easy and affordable for consumers to create common legal documents like a last will and testament, forming an LLC, registering a trademark, and more. Guilty. I'm Andrew Napolitano, the judge. By now, I know the facts, and the fact is LegalZoom.com is my choice for common legal documents. Just answer some simple questions online, and LegalZoom takes care of the rest. LegalZoom.com is not a law firm, but was founded by top attorneys, so you know the documents are reliable and of the highest quality. LegalZoom.com saves most consumers up to 80% off the cost of going to an attorney. So go to LegalZoom.com today and find out how easy forming an LLC, creating a living trust, or even registering a trademark can be. Receive a special discount off any service by typing in the judge, all one word, in the referral box at checkout. Protect yourself, your family, and your business. Visit LegalZoom.com today. That's LegalZoom.com.
Too many of our troops are paying the highest price. That from Massachusetts Senator John Kerry in the Democratic radio response, hammering home a message that the U.S. should get out of Iraq.
Our troops do not, after 4 years, need to be in the middle of a civil war, patrolling Iraqi neighborhoods under the threat of roadside bombs. The United States must get tough with Iraqi politicians, pressure them to meet tough benchmarks.
Army General David Petraeus, who officially took over as commander of multinational forces today, says the job ahead will be to improve security and that the tasks are achievable and doable. It's a whale of an effort to save one of the largest sea mammals from extinction in Georgia. Fox News Radio's Mary Regal has that story.
Scientists concerned that there may be only about 350 whales left are doing something to save them from extinction. They've lowered buoys equipped with digital recorders and microphones off the coast of Georgia, a place where whales migrate to birth their calves. They'll collect the recordings later this month. Researchers hoping the project will lead to a system that helps them spot the whales in real time, allowing them to warn nearby vessels to steer clear of running them over. Mary Regal, Fox News Radio.
Couple of zags and some trouble with the law. Josh Hatefeldt and Theo Davis both play for the Gonzaga men's college basketball team in Washington State, found with marijuana and psychedelic mushrooms. That according to police, who say they pulled the two over because their car's taillights were out. That's when they found the illegal drugs in the car. The two players are booked at the Spokane County Jail, charged with a felony for having those mushrooms. A heavenly attempt to break a world record. Thousands of people in Syracuse, New York, looking to make the most ever snow angels. How many do they need? Try more than 3,700. The group will try to make 4,000 during the city's annual Winterfest celebration. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Good afternoon. You are listening to AM 1080 KSEO Santa Cruz on the web at KSEO.com. I'm Rick O'Shea with an update on your KSEO Central Coast weather forecast. Your commute right now, we have a mud, dirt, or rock slide, unspecified as to what that is, at Bear Creek Road at Wilderfield Road. That's in the Santa Cruz area. The westbound lanes are blocked along with large boulders in the eastbound lane. And Highway 68 at Highway 1, there's a traffic collision. Two vehicles are involved there. Your KSEO Central Coast weather forecast for today. Just call for periods of rain, highs near 60, winds south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Rainfall possibly over an inch. Tonight, periods of rain as well. Lows 49, winds south 5 to 10 miles an hour. Chance of rain around 80%. Currently here at the broadcast station in Santa Cruz, 57 degrees. Time now for Perspectives with your host, Donald Davidson, right here on KSEO.
Good afternoon. You've tuned in to the Perspectives Radio Show. My name's Donald Davidson. I'll be your co-host today. Joining me to host the show is our favorite doctor of dentistry, Dr. David Biles. Dr. Biles, are you with us?
I am, Donald. Can you hear me loud and clear?
Yeah, you sound great.
Okay, great. Then we've got a good connection.
And you have a very special guest today, Dr. James Harrison. Dr. Harrison, are you with us?
Yes, I'm loud and clear.
Great. Everybody's great. Coming through.
So let me introduce the topic today, Donald. But before I do, for a bit, I wanted to comment on the movie last week, Freedom to Fascism, that you announced a number of times on the radio show. That seemed like that was quite a success.
Yeah, it was. It was a great show. And I want to thank everybody for showing up and having the enthusiasm that we need to bring about that educational process of what's happening on a constitutional level, if nothing else. I put out many times the website that's freedomtofascism.com. That's Aaron Russo, who's the film producer and director of that documentary, America, Freedom to Fascism. But hopefully everyone took a look at the website, and I know they really enjoyed the movie.
Well, you know, are you going to have a follow-up show and talk about that at all?
It's very possible we'll be doing that here in the next couple of months.
Okay, good. I thought that, again, there was a good turnout, and it's certainly information everybody needs to know and to move forward. I have to. Do you know much about the people that were outside the theater dressed in costume?
Oh, that was a little showing of the Vendetta.
Oh, is that what the V's are?
Yeah, that's the film.